We're going to be looking at John chapter 15 and verses 1 to 8. It's the last in our series, as Mike said before, about what Jesus said about himself, his own words, his understanding about himself, his I am expressions that we find in John's gospel. And these are expressions that he says about himself as he relates to us, as his followers. And we've seen, haven't we, over these last few weeks, that Jesus is the answer to all our questions. He's the ultimate resource for life. We've seen that he's the gate to the kingdom of God, that he's the way to heaven, that he's the truth and the life. He's our guide in this world. He feeds and nurtures and shepherds us. And I was thinking as I was writing all of that, that I'll just wait a minute for the last table to go in. So we've very much been thinking, haven't we, about Jesus and his relationship with us. And I was thinking as I was writing this, and thinking about this being the last one, if we're not careful, I suppose it's a bit lovey-dovey, isn't it? That this relationship with Jesus, whilst really important, is the be-all and end-all. And we end up just thinking about the inward nature of it all, and about Jesus making us feel good and making feel good about ourselves. But actually, his purpose in helping us to be Christ-centered people is not just about that inward glow. His purpose is beyond that. His purpose is actually to an outward purpose. And then actually, when we begin to look out, because we're Christ-centered people, there's also an upward purpose as well. And that's summed up really in the last verse of these verses we're looking at in John chapter 15. And verse 8 says this: "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." This is to my Father's glory. That's the upward dimension. "That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." This relationship that we have with Christ, these I ams that we embrace and live out, mean, don't they, that he shines through us, that we bear fruit because he's living within us and living through us. And this then is to the Father's glory. This is the last of Jesus' I am sayings recorded in John's gospel. This is in the hours before the disciples with Jesus go out to the Mount of Olives and Jesus prays, and then those Judas-inspired guards come to arrest him and take him away to what will ultimately, of course, be his death on a cross. He knew this. He knew what lay ahead. No coincidence then that this last I am saying, "I am the vine," really sums up and reinforces our need of Christ, but also gives us that extra dimension of mission, of that outward looking focus. Because that's the way the image of the vine was meant. And it's certainly the way that the disciples would have understood it. When Jesus said, "I am the vine," they'd have understood he was talking about the mission of God's people in the world. Who knows what the symbol for Scotland is? Thistle. Who knows what the symbol for Wales is? Might get two here. Leek and daffodil. Who knows what the symbol for England is? Might get a few here. A rose. St. George. Three lions. British Bulldog, do you know what I mean? That's it, Britain, isn't it? You know what I mean? So many, isn't there? The national symbol for Israel was, in those days, the vine. You went into the temple, and there, above the door, was a vine carved into the stonework. The coins of the day had a vine on the back. The symbol was used for Israel over and over again in the Old Testament. Israel is the vine, God's vine that he has planted to bear fruit in the world. And you'll see in several passages, but two famously, Psalm 80 and Isaiah chapter 5, how it panned out. Psalm 80, the people are asking God, why, having planted the vine of Israel, he's now brought it crashing down. And in Isaiah chapter 5, God gives the answer. He speaks through Isaiah and he says that the vine of Israel has given bad fruit. It's failed in its mission. In its mission to be light to the nations, to bear witness to God among the nations, to bear fruit to God amongst the nations, to show themselves as belonging to God, Israel had failed. And he'd lost patience with them. And so it is now that Jesus comes along and he says at the beginning of John chapter 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He's the true vine. He is the one that won't fail in comparison to Israel that had failed. He's saying that here's now a second chance to show the world the beauty of believing in God, of being believers in the one God. And this time, it's through faith in Jesus Christ, who is the true vine and tended by the head gardener, the Father himself. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It's just such a brilliant illustration, isn't it, that Jesus uses here, of him being the vine and us being the branches that then bear fruit into the world. A few times I've preached on this in the past, you just feel as if, it's just superfluous, the things I say, because it's such a great illustration. So how are we to be most fruitful to the glory of God? There's a progression in these verses. There are those that bear no fruit, there are those that bear some fruit, there are those that bear more fruit, and there are those who bear much fruit. Just before we look at it, what is this fruit? What is the fruit that we are to bear? Debate rages, really, what people think it might be, but the balance seems to be the fruit of the Spirit, that inward character of Christ that shows through us to a watching world. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These things will make us Christ-like and so draw people to him through our lives. So, let's have a little think about this. There's verse 8 up there. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. From no fruit to some fruit, we need to be in relationship with Christ. This is the starting point. This is the message, really, of verses 4 and 5. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. There's a branch, right, which isn't connected to the vine. How much fruit's on it? No fruit. It's blindingly obvious, isn't it? The branch, the bit that bears fruit, has to be attached at one end to the trunk. That's where it gets its sap from. That's where it gets its energy from. That's where it gets its strength from. That's where it gets its resources from to be able to fruit. You cut it off. For one thing, it'll fall to the ground. For another thing, within days, with no sap running through it, with no resources, the leaves will wither and die, and the fruit will be a no show. It's obvious, isn't it? It's the same with us. We are the branches, Jesus is saying. We are the fruit bearers. We must be attached to the vine. Or to put it spiritually, we must abide in Christ. We must remain in him. We must be in relationship with Christ. He's our great resource. This is what we've been looking at these last few weeks. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. His joy is our strength. His light is our life. His grace is our sufficiency. Just listen to the last phrase of verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's obvious. And yet, we try, don't we? In our own strength, we try. New Year's resolutions. Anybody? Next week? This week, is it? What are we going to try and do? Isn't it obvious? Blindingly obvious, isn't it? What we're going to try and do? We're going to do this better. We're going to try that harder. We're not going to do that anymore. But actually, in our own strength, so often we fail. Because our own strength is human. It's fallen. It's easily tempted and led astray. I was just saying to my family yesterday, there's so much leftovers in the kitchen at the moment. Mostly things that I like. You know, the trifle and the plum pie and the biscuits and all that kind of stuff. And I find myself walking into the kitchen and it's so difficult not to just pick, just nibble. It's like an automatic reaction within me. This human nature within inside me just can't resist biting that plum pie. And of course you need a bit of custard on it, don't you? Or a bit of squirty cream on it just to make it really, really nice. Did you get it though? You see, we want to bear fruit, but we need to be in him. And it's in him that we get the strength to bear the fruit that he wants us to bear. To abide in him. Whoop. Fruit. To abide in him, to remain in him, to come to him in faith, to enjoy this relationship with him. From no fruit to some fruit. We need this relationship with Christ. You know this. This is obvious. It's what Jesus is telling his disciples before he leaves them. What about from some fruit to more fruit? Jesus is saying we need to be pruned. Here's the lesson in viticulture for you, which is the growth of vines. You knew that, didn't you? So the gardener has two stages to his pruning. After the harvest, he'll be ruthless. He'll take most of last year's growth away, take the plant right down to a few strong branchlets. And certainly what he'll do is he'll cut off the dead wood, wood that hasn't produced any fruit this last year. That's only good for the bonfire. And that's explained here in verses 2. And verse 6. But then the second lot of pruning takes place early in the growth season, when the plant has started to grow. This is the same as tomatoes and roses, apparently. But he'll prune or he'll clean away the sucker growth, because these plants chuck out these branches that won't fruit. They're just there to sort of have leaves on, if you like. He'll clean them away. And any growth that grows inward, he'll also prune away. Because if that's allowed to grow, the bush becomes untidy and starts to sort of strangle itself. And there's not enough room for the fruit to grow anyway. He leaves only the outward growing branches so that the plant will grow nicely outwards. And so when all those other things are pruned away and just a few branches are left, the vine will put all the energy into those branches and the fruit will be the best fruit. And that's explained in verses 2 and 3. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So pruning is an essential part of growth and fruitfulness. So how does that apply to us? What does this mean for us as Christians seeking to produce fruit? What is God's pruning in our life? Well, it's usually taken to mean those hardships and challenges in life that come our way. Those moments, those circumstances, those experiences that make you realise that actually in your own strength you haven't got all the answers. That you do need help. That you can't cope. That it's a real struggle. You know, different worldviews try and explain it in different ways, don't they? The sort of fatalists just say, oh, it's just bad luck. These things... it's just bad. Just one of those stuff happens, do you know? Some others will say, well, it's the enemy of your souls chucking bad stuff at you. But the Christian faith will say this, that we believe in a sovereign God, a God who is in control, and nothing happens without his say-so. And therefore, hardships are part of his plan for us. And therefore, we need to try and find meaning and purpose in these things. And most of all, we need to come to him in dependence upon him. We need to throw ourselves on his mercy. We need to trust him. We need to walk through that difficulty with him. You know, when you come to the storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the storm. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky. Walk on with hope in your heart and you'll never walk alone. It pains me to say that from the front, a Liverpool song from an Everton fan, but there's great truth in that. The poem Footprints explains it in the same sort of way, doesn't it? You know, the Lord carries us through these things. Isaiah said the same thing. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burnt. When you go through the waves won't cover you. This is God's promise that he won't leave us or forsake us, but he'll walk through these difficult times with us. In Hebrews chapter 12, God's discipline is mentioned there. The writer says, God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. As we put ourselves in dependence on him through difficult times, we become more like him. The writer goes on to say, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. You see, the Father disciplines his children. He prunes the branches, he cleans away those things in our life that you know, perhaps we're depending on or we're putting energy into that we shouldn't be putting energy into. And he does this that our harvest of good fruit might be fuller and better. You've got difficulties in your life today, got challenges ahead of you. Let's think about this. Let's put our trust in the Lord. Ask him what the purpose is. Let's pray about these things together, that we can walk together with him through them. So, some fruit to more fruit, we need to be pruned. And finally, more fruit to much fruit, we need to be fed. A vine, like any plant, needs the right soil. It needs feeding, so manure or whatever it might be, fertilizer of some sort that'll help the plant to grow to the best that it can be. Having established this first principle of a relationship with Christ as the starting point of our fruitfulness, The emphasis now is on feeding that relationship. And Jesus says, verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. My words remain in you. His word, the Bible, available for us all to read and study. This is our bread and butter. This is our staple diet. God reveals himself here. Jesus' life is here. His ways, his values, his purposes, examples from the people of God who have walked with God down through the years. This is where we feed, that our fruit might be better. His word preached might be boring from time to time. Never. Exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that. It's a crucial part of our growth as we come to look at God's word together and to feed on his word again. God speaks to us in our prayer life as we talk to him, as we listen to him, as we hear his voice, as we let him guide us. And that combined with scripture, it's just wisdom for life. It's the feeding and nurturing that we need. How important is this? We read it, we learn it, we know it, we live by it. And as a result, Jesus actually says this: if my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This isn't a blank check, but in him, at our fruit-bearing best, our prayers will be in tune with his word. And so his answers will come. That's the promise that he makes here. So where are you on this journey? No fruit? Some fruit? More fruit? Or much fruit? This relationship with Christ. The pruning that comes our way. The feeding that we need. Here's the challenge for us as we end 1 year and go into the next. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We're going to respond to God's word by singing a song, and I'll lead you in prayer before we finish with our last song together.